The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This gentleman right here to my left, to your right, is Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Hey, how we doing?
Hey, oh, he says. Coming up this hour, Al Bernstein, Boxing Hall of Fame announcer, to talk Benavidez Morel with us. Light heavyweight championship of the world.
Let's go. Here in Vegas.
Here in Vegas. Was that T-Mobile, I believe?
Yeah, I think so.
T-Mobile for the light heavyweight championship of the world. What is your favorite moment in light heavyweight championship history, Kelly?
That's a great question, Kel. I don't remember.
I'm going to tell you. I can tell you what mine is. When Sugar Ray Leonard knocked out Donnie LaLonde. I think it's the late 80s. Mike Somich, Samo bombing. VSiN host Mike Somich.
That's right.
Co-host of Ready, Set, Bet. He's going to join us. Talk Super Bowl 59. Now, remember, Samo bomb was the guy who last year, again, when the Aaron Schatz's of the world were saying Baltimore Ravens, San Francisco 49ers, two of the top 10 teams of all time, he's like, no, Mahomes. And he's, you know, like so many of us this year who finally got hip to it, we're like, our power, that's that clip that they keep running on VSiN where it's me saying about the power rankings, and here comes Mahomes in with his cape, you know, just absolutely saying, forget your power rankings. That's where we are. Will Hill joins us now to discuss such a thing. He, of course, is found at Not The Will Hill, two E's on the V on Twitter. He is part of the Bear Betts empire over there at Fox Sports, Chris Velika's podcast. He's the star of the Megapod, the Beating the Book podcast, and the host of his own podcast, the Shoulda Bet More podcast. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, man?
Gilly, what's going on? I'm embarrassed to say I've never heard of those fighters in that boxing match. And I love boxing. At least I used to love boxing. That's just, man, that's a sport that the last 15, 20 years has just fallen off the radar, which is a bummer. It's a great sport. There's nothing like a great boxing match, but I never heard of those guys.
When I was a kid, I always say, like, sound like I'm 1,000 years old. Baseball was still the national pastime, right? Now it sort of just gets called that fondly. Baseball, boxing, and horse racing were huge. Huge, bigger than everything. Now, baseball wasn't in D.C. where I grew up because it was still a football town.
How were the 30s?
The 30s were fantastic. There was a war. Other than that, it was about boxing history, boxing and horse racing and baseball. But that's the thing, though. What Will's saying is sports do fall off from generation to generation if you don't, like, maintain them. And so a boxing story was the whole pay-per-view stuff, and that just started the ruin of boxing, I think.
I think it's a combination of UFC emerging, people watching boxing and just thinking it's either not on a level or, you know, you pay big money for these fights, like you said, and sometimes you just don't get your money's worth, whether it's a knockout or an unjust decision. I don't know. It's probably a compilation of all the things, but it's a bummer. It was only maybe 2, 3, 4 times a year you get a huge fight, but man, there was nothing like a huge fight. Nothing like
nothing. And I wish we were in Vegas during the days where a huge fight, the buzz in the air. By the way, the UFC thing, that's kind of retroactive. It was boxing had declined well before the emergence.
Right. You had the, like, you didn't have any great heavyweights anymore. So right by the late 90s, 2000s, you weren't having great knockouts in these fights, and you had Mayweathers and Pacquiao's that were amazing, but they're just scoring points, right? Well, they're out there tagging you, scoring points.
Well, it's not only that; it's the fact that Mayweather wouldn't fight Pacquiao until Pacquiao was 40,000 years old, right? He fought Canelo when Canelo was green and young, and he fought Pacquiao when Pacquiao was old. Mm-hmm. And so that was absolutely part of it too. So there's business decisions.
No American heavyweights too. Like once Tyson fell off, there was no really replacement.
What did you say before heavyweights there? Well, I'm just curious. Okay, anyway,
no American heavyweights.
Okay. How about Super Bowl 59? What have you bet? What are your thoughts here?
I think the Eagles probably have a slightly better team, and you're getting a couple of points. So obviously, I'm still going to bet the Chiefs because they have Mahomes, which is something you're not going to hear at all over the next couple of weeks. I'm not betting against this guy. I'm going to bet on him to win. I think Todd Wishnev said in our chat, and it's simple, but it's profound as anything. It's probably going to be a close game. In a close game, would you rather have Mahomes and Andy Reid, or would you rather have Sirianni and Hurts? I'd rather have Mahomes and Reid. Same thing I said before the Bills game. Toss-up game, I could see Philly winning. I could see, hey, the Chiefs are due to lose one of these close games. You play enough close games, eventually you're going to get bounced. Eventually the ball's not going to bounce your way. Eventually the call's not going to go your way, whatever. But I can put my head on the pillow at night knowing I bet against Mahomes and I lost, as opposed to, or betting on Mahomes and losing, as opposed to, hey, I I tried to buck Mahomes. I tried to bet against Michael Jordan, and I lost. So I'll be on the Chiefs here. I'll take them on the money line. By the way, I did feel bad about it. Your Washington Commanders. It's amazing how many texts I got. People, I feel bad for Gilly. I was rooting for Gilly. I got a handful of texts. People were rooting for you, man. They were rooting for the story. People like you. People like, I'm not overly fond of you, but a lot of people do like you.
I'm acquired taste, I think, Will. Your point about Mahomes, though. I hate, you know, people will tune in during football season. They want to hear something that they don't normally hear. I try to come in here every day talking the NFL and trying to say something different than anyone else will say, right? Because most of the stuff you're going to hear other places, but we try to find something when we do guessing lines, maybe a note on a game that people didn't think about, whatever, that you didn't notice or whatever. But when it comes to this game, I raise my hand. I'm just like, you're probably not going to get that from me for all the reasons you just stated, which is, you said it before the Bills-Chiefs AFC Championship, famously, you said, you're going to feel stupid if you're on the losing end of this game either way. And I feel like when it comes to Mahomes, I said it Monday, the very first thing on guessing lines, and of course, Eagles fans hate me for it, but it's not about the Eagles. It's if you're betting against Mahomes and you lose, I said it kind of harshly. I said, you deserve what you get. 17 one-score wins in a row, 12 this year. Both are records. How do you bet against that?
Yeah, you don't. And there is certainly like an NBA feel, like a LeBron with the Cavs, or hey, there's a different gear. Remember some of those Cavs LeBron teams where they were like the four seed? No, this is finally the year LeBron doesn't get to the finals, and the playoffs start, and it's just there's a whole nother level. That Chiefs team we saw on Sunday, we didn't see that team much this year, even though they went 15-1 in games that mattered. That was a different gear. So that doesn't factor into these numbers. The Chiefs absolutely have a different gear, a different speed. They're one of these rare teams in the NFL. I mean, we don't see it where you pace yourselves and they just that 75, 80, 90%. That A-plus game doesn't really come out for them in the regular season, but it comes out in the playoffs. As far as, you know, taking this game a little further, you know, what's different last time? The Eagles have Fangio, Eagles have Barkley. Fangio is famously, he's got this rep of defending Mahomes well, but he never beats Mahomes with his time with the Dolphins, time with the Broncos, but he does kind of play conservatively. Remember, he invented this. I'm trying to think of the name of the defense, but basically take away the big plays. I think it's two high safeties. Keep the ball in front of you. So that would put me to like Mahomes over pass attempts, 35.5, 36.5, just because I don't think the Chiefs can run the ball. I thought a lot of their runs, except for when Mahomes ran, when he was really effective, a lot of the Pacheco hunt up the middle, a lot of dead runs, a lot of just wasted plays. I don't think they'll be able to run it. And I don't think that they're going to, you know, have the big plays. I think it's going to be underneath. So over 36.5 attempts. I know it's a lot, but that might be a good way to go based on just the X's and O's. And from an Eagles standpoint, tight ends have killed the Chiefs. So Goddard, 4.5 catches, I think is a good one. Goddard, I think, is plus 850 to lead the game in yards receiving. Of course, Shop Brown, I was looking at one or two books, but even 100-1 for MVP, Super Bowl MVP, it's probably going to be Barkley, Hurts, Mahomes. This is a superstar award, but if you're looking for, hey, I want a fun bet, free bet, pizza bet, whatever, Goddard, 100+1 MVP, I do think is interesting.
Do you buy into Fez was on yesterday, Steve Fezzik. He was on and talking about how, you know, he feels like the opportunity when it comes to props is going to be in the fact that books aren't going to be able to properly price the sort of evolution of how fourth downs are treated now in the NFL, particularly when you have the Eagles, right, with tush pushes, but also applies to both teams here, applies to the league in general now. Do you think that you will probably wade into those waters as well?
I got to go back and listen to it. I caught part of the show yesterday. So his angle is basically going to play under punts again one of those.
Well, that was a derivative of it, but yes. Okay. So punts, field goal tries, but generally third down conversions, like fourth down conversions, that kind of thing.
That's a good one. I like it. I think in general, these props are a little bit sharper than they were, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. There's just the good stuff gets scooped up early. But I do tend to agree that, by the way, not a betting point, but are we at the point where we can get rid of the tush push? It's not really a football play. It's repetitive. It's boring. Am I alone in that? I see it lined up. Okay. 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, they're going to tush push. They're going to get it. I'm kind of over it.
In the words of the great Michael Jackson, you are not alone. I think there are many who feel that way. If you're an Eagles fan, you vehemently disagree with that because you're like, why? Because we do something better than everybody else. You take that away from us.
I am so on that side.
Yeah.
I think we proved that more this year in the NFL. None of these teams can run it like the Eagles.
Yeah.
So, like, if every team was converting every one of these, I think I'd be on the same side as you guys. But no, like, the Eagles are the only one who can do it at that level of success.
Well, some of these teams have started to put, like, their tight end in and doing it. Remember, the Packers did it a bunch of times. I think the Ravens got with Andrews. These teams are going to start to get smarter and put the tight end. I guess it has to come to that where everybody's getting it every time. To me, it's just, it's not a football play. It's boring. It's repetitive.
My mind's still blown from the Chiefs shutting down Josh Allen trying to run up the gut. Like that, what? It's, well, Josh Allen.
Tony,
like,
Romo just called happened. It. He knows their tendency is to go over left guard, and they figured it out. I used to be get rid of this thing. I kind of am on the Eagles side of things now. I'm like, if you want to stop them from doing it, don't let them get in, you know. I mean, the other joke about it is if they had a 2nd and 6, you could just tush push 3 times in a row every time, right? And you would conceivably, or 2nd and 5, whatever you want to say it is, and conceivably get the first down every time. So there is that counter to the counter. But I just think you try to prevent them from getting in those situations is the answer. With Saquon, though, thanks, New York Giants, that becomes way more difficult now.
Yeah, and it's not even from like, oh, I'm jealous they're getting it, I'm rooting against them. It's just like from a viewer standpoint. To me, it's just a boring play. It's not exciting football. Yeah.
Well, guys, don't worry, okay? Because if the Eagles just start doing it every play, the ref's going to come out in the middle of the game and he's going to be like, we're going to award the team a turnover if they continue to do this too often.
Frankie Luba was awesome. Just soaring over the top, trying to time it. What else are you going to do? Will, thank you as always, man. We'll talk soon here.
All right, see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, everybody. Mike Somich on his thoughts. Super Bowl 59 next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly, you a fan of the squares when it comes to betting?
Always.
No big game is complete without a classic game of squares, but this year, make it even better with Circa Squares Bets. From Circa Sports, we all know the pain of pulling those terrible numbers. Well, not anymore. With Circa Squares, you get to choose your square and the numbers you want. Each square has its own odds, so you're always in control of your bet. Download the Circa Sports Nevada app today and place your Circa Squares bet. Turn your big game into a big win with Circa Sports. When did squares enter your betting history? Do you remember the moment the first time you saw squares?
Yeah, I mean, I was a kid. I think my dad was one of those pools for every Super Bowl. Yeah,
my dad did him as well. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They. I mean, the ones that Circa's done though, these have taken off the past couple of years. It's been pretty impressive to see how popular these have gotten.
Right, because they have the twist on it. You can actually choose. So this is so check it out again. Download the Circa app. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Dave Ross, the host of By the Books here on the network, which precedes
go to bed,
us.
Dave.
Dave is busy explaining to folks on Twitter about the joke that I told
him.
Sure,
the
beginning.
That's going over well.
He's going, it's an all-time amazing joke and pokes fun for different reasons at both groups. And the fact that a two-worded answer joke has to be explained shows you the brilliance of said joke. A masterpiece. Thank you, Dave. You're absolutely right. Colin Murphy. Ime Ubidlin is definitely not getting my Coach of the Year vote, but Blade Udoka absolutely would.
Blade, that's right.
Blade didn't really catch on.
That didn't really catch on.
Yeah, I know.
I guess, can I finish my thought on the Rockets real quick?
Sure.
I only had any hesitation on them because I might be very, very quickly loading up on a Thunder to win the Western Conference ticket. I just think they are head and shoulders above everybody else in that conference. And I think at a plus price, plus 125 right now out there on them, it's still a good bet for them to win the West before Chet comes back here. Because you asked me about that. Chet coming back, this team's going to go to a whole nother level too. So.
Chet Holmgren set to return to the Thunder here
Rockets,
at some point.
Rockets are definitely part of that next tier for me, though.
SoCal Fantasy. We may not have a consensus for first pick in the NFL draft this year. Could get plus money on everyone as the rumors roll in. That's for sure, man. And then Scuba Scott talking about what I was saying about how horse racing and baseball and boxing went by the wayside. Baseball, not by the wayside, but baseball has definitely become more regional since then. Horse racing and boxing, for sure. Scuba Scott. I'm a newly minted 65-year-old. Things I enjoyed 30 years ago in sports, most 35-year-olds wouldn't give a second look to. His list, Hialeah, cut my teeth gambling at Hialeah in Miami. Dog racing, also a Miami thing that you won't ever hear about anymore.
This is like a list of degenerate better things that I love. This isn't sports.
heavyweight boxing, roller derby.
Roller derby.
That even precedes me. Joni Weston is his favorite. And then Taylor Gingrich, hope I'm pronouncing that right, or Gingrich. I'm going to guess Gingrich, Taylor. The problem with the tush push isn't the play itself, but how the center illegally lines up over the ball in the neutral zone, gaining an advantage every time. It's at the point where it's just accepted for whatever reason. Yeah, exactly. That's my response to that. You're right. They should, you know, if you're going to be so harsh on the defense at that point for like trying anything possible to stop it, maybe be a little fair about that part of it. I would agree with that.
I mean, there's a point where it's illegal. They can call that offensive offsides.
Well, I wish they would. Have you ever seen it called?
No.
No, exactly.
Like, I don't know for sure that that's happening all the time.
Well, but it is sometimes, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's Taylor's point. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the co-host of Ready, Set, Bet, which he does with our buddy Matt Brown on the weekend. It's Mike Somich, Sommelbombing his way onto the show. Talk Super Bowl 59 with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. Doing good. Happy that that my Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl here for another year. It's either you bet on them or you hate them right now, and we've been betting on them for a while, so pretty happy we got the Chiefs back here.
Yeah, let me just, again, explain, give Mike his credit here, for, as he says, my Chiefs. It's not like he's a Chiefs fan. What he is a guy who last year, again, when everybody was saying, well, I'll just use analytics, again, not picking on Aaron, because Aaron Schatz, I love Aaron Schatz's historical rankings in DVOA, and last year he had the Ravens and the Niners in the top 10. And Somich the whole time was like, Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs. And of course, the Chiefs ended up winning. I hope I'm quoting you correctly there, Mike. And the Chiefs ended up winning it all. And I have asked him repeatedly during this season the same question, as, again, the Ravens specifically ended up being the top the seventh best team of all time, DVOA, all time being all the way back to 1979. Are you still with Mahomes? And you were like, absolutely. And here we are yet again. So you're on the Chiefs here in the game, or you just have futures you're riding?
Well, I it's funny. I came on this show the Monday after the Super Bowl last year and told you guys I bet the Chiefs plus 750 to win the Super Bowl after cashing my Chiefs ticket from the previous year.
This dude.
Mike. Sorry.
Yep.
I have not bet the Chiefs in the game, but I do have the big futures ticket on them, and I'm going to. I haven't decided if I'm going to hedge yet or not, right? It's either going to be a small hedge or no hedge here. I think Kansas City's still the right side. To me, this is just about situational football. And when you look through this roster, there are very few places you can point to Kansas City and say, oh, they're better, right? The secondary, I'd probably take Kansas City's over Philly's. Obviously, quarterback, I'd take Kansas City over Philly. But skill position on the offensive side, Philly's better. If you look at the defensive line, Philly's better. But the key to me here is the coaching. And that's what people keep just not focusing in on, right? Andy Reid is better than anyone Philadelphia has offensively or at the head coach position. When you look at defensive coordinator, give me Spags, and they are just able to consistently make plays when it matters. You go back to that Buffalo game, the tush push that everyone's talking about. Was it a first down? Wasn't a first down? The Bills went to the left all four tush pushes. Kansas City, the first team to shift their line over to the left and take that away from Buffalo. It's little things like that that coaching staff consistently does that makes the Chiefs better in those situational moments. You have to get two first downs to close the game out. Guess what? Kansas City can do it through the air. They don't have to just run it three times, take timeouts. They can actually close the game out. It's those type of moments that make the difference for me with this Kansas City team. And it's been like that for literally the last 6-7 years since Mahomes took over at quarterback. We're two plays away here, right? The offsides that we saw against the Patriots and that second half against Cincinnati, those two things are different. This is the seventh year in a row this Kansas City team has been in the Super Bowl.
Five Super Bowl appearances in the last 6 years. Do I have that correct? Five Super Bowl appearances in the last 6 years. Seven straight AFC championships, trying to become the first team to ever win three in a row. You have bet three props. They are all overs. Let's start with Mahomes completions.
Yeah, this is one where I just, when you look at how Kansas City is going to attack this Philadelphia defense, to me, it's through the air. I don't think they have a ton of success running the football with Hunt or Pacheco. I assume Hunt's going to be the lead back there. So if you're betting props, I would be looking at Hunt props, not Pacheco props to the over. And I'd look at Pacheco props to the under, do like under his longest run, 9.5 yards. But when I'm looking at I expect that Kansas City does attack through the air for the majority of it. And you expect that they're not going to be able to really push the ball downfield. Philadelphia loves playing a too high look on the defensive side. They rush four versus blitzing or bringing extra rushers. All of that points to Mahomes on these 5, 6, 7 yard routes. And we've seen Kansas City, when they're facing that type of defense, be happy to take those type of completions. The beauty of that is on a completions over prop here, not only are you going to see a lot of throws because you're not going to see the chunk plays, the 20, 30 yard plays, you're also going to see
see throws that are highly likely to be completed. So if he's throwing 3 yards down the field, 4 yards down the field, 5 yards down the field, those passes completed at a much higher percentage rate than those longer 10, 20, 30 yard passes. So like Mahomes to go over that 24 and a half completion number with a lot of shorter throws and meticulously moving the ball down the field.
And speaking of coaching for the Chiefs, I see you have a Xavier Worthy over rushing yards prop here. I guess you're anticipating a jet sweep, at least in this.
Oh, I think so. I was pounding the table here for Worthy rush yards last week. If you look at this Chiefs team, and specifically Andy Reid, the way he's called plays in the playoffs, we now have 20 straight games where a non-quarterback, non-running back has rushed the football. So tight end or wide receiver has gotten a run. If you look at Worthy this year, he has had at least one rush in 15 of the 19 Chiefs games. He's had two or more rushes in 7 of those 19, and he's gone over this 4.5 yard prop in 13 of those 19 games as well. I'd be shocked if he doesn't get at least one run. He got 2 in the AFC championship game, got 2 the week before. I would expect you're going to see multiple runs for Worthy here. So love over that 4.5 number. If you can get 4.5, that's a big one. There's a couple 5.5s out there. I would shop around, make sure you get that over 4.5 rushing prop.
Over 4.5 rushing yards for Xavier Worthy. And don't worry, Eagles fans, he's not a one-sided thing. You do have an over for an Eagle.
Yeah, give me Goddard over 47.5 receiving yards. It's the best number I could find right now. When Matt and I were on Ready, Set, Bet on Sunday night, we were running through all these props. We got over 45.5 on Goddard. When you look at this Chiefs defense, they kind of funnel everything toward the middle and allow tight ends to be successful. They're number one in tight end targets, receptions, and yards against in the NFL. I expect Goddard to have a big day, especially after how we saw him game planned into that Washington game over the weekend.
All right. You're wearing a Stanley Cup final top there, so I feel compelled to ask you for a hockey pick before you leave us.
Yeah, I got my Blues Stanley Cup finals on here. We're not nearly as good as we were that season, but we did switch head coaches. Still like us to make the playoffs at +550 out there available. But for today, give me the Hurricanes here, -1.5 taking on the New York Rangers. You can get +175 right now on this Carolina team, -1.5. Love the move they did to pick up Rantanen. It should help out the offense. And this Rangers team missing a couple key pieces, both in net and up front. So we'll lay the goal and a half here with the Hurricanes, take the +175 number.
Did you say you're a Blues fan? Is that what I got there?
Oh, huge Blues fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was wondering the same thing.
Got the helmet right back here. We got a Stanley Cup over here. We got one with Louie holding it.
Did you grow up in St. Louis?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Let's go Blues. I did. I grew up during the Hall and Oates era in St. Louis. So fell in love with the Blues there, and they've been my hockey team for years.
Yeah, Hall and Oates era. Rich girl. I can't go for that. That's what he's talking about. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Totally.
Should know more about Mike. I feel bad.
Maybe Mike Somich profile coming up on the show. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike Somich, everybody. Sam Obama 18. Al Bernstein on Boxing Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSiN today and use promo code VSiN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy and gain the edge in your trading game. That's BubbaTrading.com/VSiN, promo code VSIN500. We'll get Bubba on, because that was the night where Kelly promised every human being on Earth they'd be on the show. But Bubba, we actually promised before that night.
That's right. Yeah. But I did back it up.
You did support back it up.
I was like, we're going to get you on, Bubba.
You're on the show, and you're on the show, and you're on the show. Three Joe, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Three Jack H.
Somich was dying laughing, man.
I've seen you ask 4 other people on the show. Well, there's Somich. He showed up. Bruce Dobigan is back. He said, Bills deserve to lose, but the Tuchus push, the Chiefs lined up offside on 3 of the Bills' attempts, he says. Crickets from the refs or the league. Maybe it's Goodell's way of getting it out by allowing the defense to encroach.
I haven't seen that, Gil, but that tweet I agree with, because it makes more sense to me than Josh Allen being stopped that many times.
Well, they wouldn't let Washington encroach, would they?
No, they wouldn't. I swear if I was coaching the Bills, they would have lost by 80 points, because I would have been sitting there just being like, all right, let's go to the right side with Josh. No, we're going to keep going with Josh. There's no way they can stop this many times. Keep running it.
3Jack H3131 asks you, can we get Kelly's thoughts on the Kings to win the Pacific Division? He has a 36-1 ticket.
Oh, man. I'll circle back on that. How about in the final segment? Let me pull up a couple things. But that is
Kelly needs to do research.
That's a really tight division right there.
We'll get back to it. I sprung that on him. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, it is always a thrill when this gentleman is kind enough to come on the show before a big boxing match. And there is a big light heavyweight championship fight coming up this weekend here in Las Vegas, which we'll get to momentarily. He is a Hall of Fame boxing announcer. Most famously was on the call for the great Hearns Hagler 8-minute absolute fight fest back in the mid-80s. He's also, of course, though, a original VSiN host, by the way. Don't let that slip in his history as well. And he has his own show that is going to be at the Tuscany here this Thursday night. He's been doing this for years as well. It's the great Al Bernstein, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Al? Good morning.
I'm good, Gil. So nice to join you again. Yeah, nice to be with you guys. I love the show. And what I know about sports gaming, I glean from you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. What I know about wanting to go see acts here in Las Vegas, though, is really starts and ends with you. And I mean that. I'm taking little Gracie to NYU, as we discussed Friday. So yeah. I'm leaving town on Thursday.
That's pretty important. I would say that's an important function.
Yeah, but I hope you will do this again. Can you explain to folks what your act is about if they want to go?
Yeah, well, you know, since 1987, you mentioned the Hagler-Hearns fight, but since 1987, before the Hagler-Leonard fight, when I did three nights of music at Caesar's Palace the night of leading up to that fight, I have been doing music shows before big fights. Mixing in boxing trivia and things of that nature, in the show, just because people, while they get a kick out of me doing the music, they want some of the other stuff too. And I've been doing it for a long, long time. And in the last 5 or 6 years, I've been doing it at the Tuscany Casino here in Las Vegas. They have a great room, the Piazza Lounge. It's real intimate and fun. And we do lots of music. We do special material. I've got a song about my days at ESPN, a couple other songs that are special material. Plus, I do a lot of standards and blues and everything. And we do some boxing trivia. It's just a very fun evening. A lot of the boxing celebrities and boxing folk come out along with regular everybody else. And we have a good time. And this Thursday, at 8 p.m. and 9:30, I'll have shows. No cover charge. Just come out and hang out and have fun.
I love it. And by the way, when Al says he does music, he sings, just to be clear about it. He sings in addition.
Yes. I have been a vocalist for a long, long time. And it's fun. I enjoy doing it. And people get a kick out of seeing me do something different.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. I hope the next time I can.
You're going to get there. I'm confident we're going to make that work.
I am confident as well. Let's get to the fight this weekend. It is the light heavyweight championship of the world. I was sort of saying earlier, Al, I'm thinking, you know, the light heavyweight division, not exactly the sexiest weight class in history. But I do remember, because it falls below, obviously, heavyweight and cruiserweight. But I do remember some big names from the past in the 80s, Matthew Saad Muhammad, Dwight Braxton, who later became Dwight Muhammad. And then it was sort of like Tommy Hearns elevated there when he got older, Sugar Ray Leonard beating Donnie Lalonde, Antonio Tarver. There's some names, Roy Jones Jr. We remember their names, but those weren't the weight classes that made them famous. Where does this fight? It's David Benavidez, by the way, for those who are wondering. David El Monstro, the monster, Benavidez, 29-0, 24 knockouts, taking on David Morrell Jr., who's 11-0 with 9 knockouts. Benavidez, a minus 190 favorite. How big of a fight is this?
Yeah, it's big. Now, it's actually not for the light heavyweight title. That Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol, who are amazing, they fought for the unified titles, and they're going to fight again February 22nd. But this one is, these two fighters were at 168, and they've stepped, this is actually their main entry into 175. They fought at 175 before, but now this is like almost a elimination to see who fights the winner of the Beterbiev Bivol fight. But it's a very important fight. And, you know, both David Benavidez and and David Morrell were dominant at 168. Benavidez, especially a former champion there and with more experience, but they could not get the coveted fight with Canelo Alvarez, which of course is the biggest money fight that anybody can have. So they said, well, shoot, we're going to fight each other and we're going to do it at 175 because it doesn't look like this guy's going to fight us. So we may have to go to 175 where we can win an important match, which is when it is, and then maybe fight the winner of Berbiev and Bivol. It's very important. It's a fight that has captured the imagination of certainly the true boxing fan. It's crossover, appeal. We don't know enough about. We're not. It could and should really interest anybody that has even a casual interest in boxing. It's a really, really good fight.
So just to clarify here, Kelly, you have the WBC light heavyweight champ in Benavidez against the WBA light heavyweight champion in Morrell, but this is not a light heavyweight fight. They're fighting at 175, so I got that part wrong.
This fight is the most is as meaningful as you can get, in that division other than Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol, who are, who have had the titles and they're superstars. And these men are, especially David Benavidez, is on the cusp of that. And so it's a really intriguing matchup because David Benavidez is a volume puncher who is as exciting as any fighter in boxing can be offensively. He reels off these great combinations and doesn't stop. And David Morrell has much less experience than him and has not fought the level of competition that Benavidez has, but he's such a phenom and came into the sport after a great amateur career in the Cuban ranks and came to America and ironically settled in Minnesota, of all places, where he built a following in Minneapolis and then became, a top 168 pounder. He's got one punch power and has boxing skills. But Benavidez, who's, as you said, the favorite, I think if people are going to go on the money line look to bet, whether you're, just a straight up bet, I think more people are betting Benavidez in this fight. And the over under in this fight is an interesting one because it's 10 and a half rounds. And in their last outing, both of these men went the distance and weren't as dominant as they had been in previous fights. But if you're going to bet for a stoppage in this fight, I think it is more likely, in my opinion, that Benavidez would be the one that would do it. He has never really been hurt, although Morrell is a good puncher. And the over-under of 10.5, I would be tempted, I think, if I was putting money down in this fight, to go for the under only because I think it's possible that Benavidez later in the fight could be wearing Morrell down and might get to him prior to that point.
Okay, under 10.5 in the total rounds, and then Benavidez by stoppage, if you can find that prop, but steering clear of the Benavidez money line at -190.
Those are worth a try.
Okay.
But it's a competitive fight. It's a really super competitive fight.
Al, appreciate it very much. Thank you so much, and good luck on Thursday night.
Thank you so much. You guys take care.
You too. Al Bernstein, by the way, you can follow on Twitter at Al Bernstein. How about that? Very clever Twitter handle that he got. Like Kelly Bidlin, who got his own Twitter as well. We'll come back, a little bit of everything. We'll recap our bets on the show today, and a little French Open talk. How about that? Some tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. By the way, I feel like I'm leaning on the console again today. My posture is getting a little lower.
Yeah. If only you guys could see our... everybody has to do that with their legs.
I'm going
to
be Larry King by the end of this.
We all have to cross our legs like when we're sitting in these chairs because they're so low.
I'm going to be halfway down to the console by the end of it. Kelly Bidlin, what do you think? It's time for our VSiN G-Bank Best Bets of the Day. I am on the Chiefs. Let's start there. The official bank of VEASAN, by the way, G-Bank. I'm on the Chiefs. I laid the point and a half. I know, hey, Philly could take money. This could be the worst of it. I don't care. I'm taking the Chiefs. Didn't think twice about it after the games on Sunday. I believe Kansas City wins their third straight Super Bowl, an unprecedented third straight Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes probably does end up with his third straight Super Bowl MVP, which would be unprecedented as well. You, sir.
Yeah, I got a couple Super Bowl props. Nothing in the NBA for me tonight. I do think it was interesting what Drew said with the rest advantage situations. You do have the Lakers, Jazz, and Bucks all in back-to-back situations, three games in 4 days. I just, the Sixers, Warriors, Blazers, I can't really get behind right now. So nothing in the NBA for me. Props that I made around the opener, Kareem Hunt, and this was, I bet these same kind of angles over the weekend for the AFC Championship game, Gil, with Pacheco and Hunt. I just think it's pretty obvious that Kareem Hunt is that number one back now, and Pacheco is not fully healthy. He has not performed well since he's come back from this injury. So I don't really know if I'm assuming he's still dealing with injury issues. Now, the bigger question, I dialed back for the Super Bowl ones, because what does 2 weeks do? I don't know. That's a whole lot of time off. Maybe he's feeling a lot better 2 weeks from now, and this isn't as big of a gap as it appeared against the Bills. But Kareem Hunt's getting all the work, so he's going to be the lead back. I don't think it's going to be easy to run on the Eagles, but at 42.5, I wanted to get in early on an over. Do expect that number to go up, and then I played Pacheco's longest rush under 8.5 yards. I think that was my favorite way of attacking Pacheco unders.
All right, and then we also had some bets from Drew Dinsick. He is on the Eagles' money line against the Chiefs. He's on Saquon to win the Super Bowl MVP at 3-1. He is on three NBA bets. These are all rest-related. Sixers +4 versus the Lakers. He thinks Sixers might end up as a favorite when all is said and done if LeBron and or AD don't suit up. Blazers +5.5 versus the Bucks. And the Dubs, the Warriors laying a dozen against the Utah Jazz. Also had some bets from our buddy Will Hill. He's on the Chiefs along with me on Super Bowl 59. He's on Patrick Mahomes over 36.5 pass attempts in Super Bowl licks. And also Mike Somich. Samo bombing us some bets as well. Hurricanes in hockey tonight, by the way. Carolina Hurricanes giving up the goal and a half, +175 versus the Rangers. And then three Super Bowl props from him already. Mahomes over 23.5 completions. Xavier Worthy over 4.5 rushing yards, and Dallas Goedert of the Eagles over 47.5 receiving yards. Our best bets brought to you by, oh, by the way, did Al Bernstein make the list as well, or did we end with Somich?
We
ended with Somich. Okay. Al Bernstein looking at the under in that Benavidez Morel match. Best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN. If you're serious about sports betting, you need the G-Bank Visa signature card. Most credit cards treat sportsbooks and gaming transactions as cash advances. Even when you put your own money on the card, G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases. So you're typically saving up to 3-5% on cash advance fees right there. Right now, for a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VEASAN.com/G-Bank. That's VEASAN.com/G-Bank. Subject credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I mentioned this with Drew earlier because we always talk about, you know, we do podcasts on events and we talk about it on the show, and then we don't often, like, you know, do any like sort of retrospective on things. So I wanted with the Australian Open because he sort of ran out of time with Drew. But the bottom line with that is, and by the way, we get a, by the way, let me just read a couple tweets here before I get to this. This is from, sorry for being out of order. This is Uncle Bush, who says, forget all these football-related props. When does young Gil dive into Kendrick Lamar's set list for opening songs at halftime? I got to get down to that. I really do. Mike Alvarez. Hey, guys, first time tuning into Sirius XM, and it was like the old days. Al Bernstein was on. The producer can't stand Gil. Man, good times. Who is that? Jorge Mondaca? Is that what you're referring to? Producer number three?
A little bit Jorge on it.
Maybe it's because I called him Georgie Bueno every day. Might be on me. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney. The great Al Bernstein. What a treat. I may just have to sneak out Thursday Eve. In the 70s, he was in Chicago working for my local neighborhood paper. Always had a good take. He was there for many great fights from the era when boxing was a very big deal. And then Nikki Betts, 303. Yes, do you remember Virgil Hill? You're right. He was a silver medalist in 1984, set a record with 20 title defenses from North Dakota. Wasn't sure if he was just a famous boxer to us or if anyone else remembers slash knew of him. Yes. And Virgil Hill, I believe, was a light heavyweight. As far as the Australian Open, again, lady side, I am so glad I was telling Drew this off air, and I think I've said this on air too. I'm so glad I brought up Matty Keys on the podcast. It was sort of my, you know how Jason, I will say, he does this Columbo thing, right?
Right.
As he's walking out the door, he's like, oh, one more thing. And then he would solve the case. I did that. I was going through ladies on the in the Australian Open draw one by one, sort of getting Drew's reaction. And we played Drew's reaction back earlier this week where I was like, well, what about Matty Keys? And he was like, well, she's got a Grand Slam level. Because we all kind of know that if she played her A game, she'd been to a hard court slam final before the U.S. Open in 2017 when her buddy Sloane Stephens beat her. This is the first time ever since. And so she ends up surviving a match point against Iga in the semis, beating Aryna Sabalenka in a great final. She deserves it, man. It was awesome. Good for her. So congratulations to anybody who had Madison Keys. I certainly did not in the end. But by the way, my Australian Open was a scorching first round where we accumulated all these units and then kind of gave them back over the rest of the tournament. Ended up with
the
slightest bit of gain in the matches because none of the dogs late got home. By the way, the men's side, what I was saying briefly with Drew is Sasha Zverev, who Drew had actually said he had to win it all at one point. Sasha Zverev was terrible in the semifinals against Djokovic. He had so many easy break opportunities. Djokovic was just handing it to him in the first set. Djokovic had a hitch in his giddy up. Hamstring was completely shot. And Sasha Zverev couldn't do anything with it. He does end up winning the first set because Djokovic puts a volley into the net and Djokovic just quits. So he wasn't really good in that set either. And then he just was absolutely terrible in the final. Sinner just took him out in three straight sets. So Sinner ends up getting his third major title. I believe that's Sinner's third. Yes, his third major title. So for the French Open, which is the next tennis major in April, is it April or May? I can never remember.
Later than that,
yeah, I think
right?
It's May, right? Isn't it? It's going to be on clay, of course. End of May. We got a whole hard court season still to play, including the Sunshine Double, Indian Wells, the de facto fifth major, and the Miami Open. It's called the Sunshine Double. And then you have the clay court season, which before you get to Paris, you're in Madrid, you're in Rome. It's just an awesome thing. And it's a totally different surface. And for those wondering, hey, do you have any bets? Iga Świątek is at the point now where she was 30-1, 33-1 when we first had her, when she won her French Open. She's -175 now, which is exactly where she should be priced because she's won four of these already. She's 23 years old. This will sort of coincide with her 24th birthday. She is the Rafa Nadal of the ladies tour when it comes to the French Open. Rafa Nadal famously won 14 of these. Iga's won four already. And by the way, the next closest is Sabalenka at +450 and Coco at +650. So does she get her fifth French? Only time will tell, but it's priced properly. And again, when it comes to why was Rafa Nadal and why Iga, why are they so dominant on clay? Why were they in the case of Nadal? Why was he? Clay is a slower surface, so the ball bounces higher and it rewards athleticism and power. Not necessarily in your serve, by the way, it mitigates a serve. But Iga, the only player on tour that can get to as many shots as she can is probably Coco. Iga's athleticism is unbelievable. She does the slide thing on clay, which is unparalleled, and she's got a rocket forehand to boot. So she gets to everything. It's virtually impossible to beat her. That was Rafa's thing, too. So there is no bet anymore. Like, that ship has sailed long ago. Will I end up having some little bet on her at that? Yeah, I wouldn't bet on anybody else. The men's side is where it becomes a little more interesting, where you have Carlos Alcaraz, who has won four majors. He has won the French. He's the defending French Open titleist, champ. He beat, if you remember, Sasha Zverev in the finals last year, a match that he probably should have lost. I believe he survived. Was it a match point? No, it was a break point he survived earlier. That, by the way, was a bad call. Remember at the French, Kelly, with the clay, There is no Hawkeye. It's an umpire walking off his or her perch and going, I believe that was out.
Is there dirt on that white line?
I believe that was in. That kind of thing happens at the French. So Carlitos is the short shot, but we'll see. It's much more difficult to find a good bet in this coming major than it is on a hard court.
Now, do you treat this at all like, with the tennis futures heading into the French Open, do you treat this at all like I do with the Masters, where it's, okay, as I'm seeing these people play over the next couple months, I might add, or is because the surface, you really can't do that?
Yeah, you can only make that assessment, I think, when you get to Madrid and Rome and the precursors. Stuttgart as well. We've done all we can do. Stormy's next with Money Moves. Enjoy.